Welcome into the Nick Bob Podcast, part two, 2019 sports year in review, live here at the AOI Studios, a.k.a. my basement. I love these chairs. Bo Rude and I, we recorded a two hour and 40 minute long podcast here. We had to break it up into two parts, and it was a blast, and it was comfortable the whole time because of these amazing chairs. Let me tell you, the Aeron chair from Herman Miller, if you are looking for a new chair for your desk, your office, whatever, you got to check this out. Let's be honest, when you feel more comfortable, when you're working, you're going to work longer, you're going to work harder, it's going to go a lot better for you. These chairs are fantastic, all right? The Herman Miller chair is based on the latest research around the science of sitting, advancements in materials, manufacturing, and technology, and the Aeron is such an iconic piece of design. It is on display at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City and the Chicago Art Institute. I'm telling you, these chairs are fantastic. Make sure you hit up AOI, either online at aoicorp.com. That's aoicorp.com, or give them a ring, 402-896-5520. That's 896-5520. All right, so part two. You've already listened to part one, Bo Rude and I, given our top 10 sports moments slash stories of 2019. We've done 10 through 5, top 4 coming up here on this pod. Plus, at the end of the pod, we dive into a little pop culture. Bo and I give our album of the year of 2019, song of the year of 2019, best movie of the year, and best TV show of the year. Tons of really, really good stuff. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here is part two of the 2019 sports year in review. At number four, this is like a big broad thing, but I think, can I give the moment that then spilled into what has become a one of the bigger things in sports? The missed pass interference call in the NFC Championship game is without question the biggest missed call in the history of the NFL. I know that sounds like, I got a record. Think about all that's on the line there, Bo. You're talking about a trip. Find me another missed call, like of that egregious nature.
Yeah.
That what hinged on that was going to the Super Bowl. This wasn't week 6. This isn't week 11. This isn't even like to get out of like the wild card. Like, this is to go to the Super Bowl. And it's just a unbelievable missed pass interference call. Saints Rams. Rams guy literally decapitates a Saints wide receiver. No PI, which then sparks. Instant replay has been growing.
Yeah.
And review has been growing. But now it feels like it is going to another level where the NFL then, in being reactionary, overreactionary to me, implemented. Now, it hasn't been as big of an impact as I thought it would be in this season, but implemented pass interference being reviewable.
Yeah.
Which to me, I didn't like it out of principle of, I think when you are now allowing subjective calls to be reviewed, you're opening a slippery slope. What are you going to review holding now? You're going to review, like, what are you going to, you're going to review those kind, like, you and I got into a debate, and I think this is what the debate should be here as we talk about this, is like, do we like replay in sports?
Yeah.
I think if you can get it right, I'm all for replay getting it right when it comes to black and white calls. Is he inbounds? Is he out of bounds? Those kinds of things. But when you go down the slope of subjective stuff, not good.
Well, I think that's why when, you know, we were talking today, I said, I think instant replay needs to be on this list somewhere. And the more we talked about it, the more we realized, like, it's been a huge part of this year. And the debate that this happened, I mean, this was a organic debate that sort of started over beers on the day after Christmas. Was, I think it started with the LeBron.
Yeah,
the Clippers, LeBron Lakers. Gets the ball hit out of his hands, and if you slow it down in slow motion, it may have grazed his finger
slightly last.
But like the point is, just like the NFC Championship game, now that happens, and now you can review pass interference. Well, now they're super slow-mowing basketball, and plays that used to be, well, that's obvious. The
you knocked it out of my hands.
Yeah, like the nature of sport is like that. That's always their ball back, or that's, hey, you missed the call. It's part, like, now these things are reviewable, and your point was it becomes a slippery slope. Like,
thing is a slippery slope.
Yeah, so to me, it's like, I want the game to go back to no replays at all. I think it should be played. It will speed up the game. It's going to include human error, and we don't have to keep going down the path that we're going down, which is going to be like stopping the game every second and trying to get it right at all costs all the time. That's kind of where we're going.
Because what's hard is there are elements of what you just said that I wholeheartedly agree with. I think there's a pace of play issue in sports that's a real problem. That games are taking way too long, and we're reviewing way too much, and then the reviews themselves are taking way too long. But just because all those things can be true, but I also am not then going to the extreme of saying, well, I don't want any replay. Because I do think if you have the technology and you have the ability to get something right that is easy to get right, then you should, then I struggle to get on board with being like, ah, no, let's not do that. But I think there are ways you can do that without having things be so time consuming. But maybe you, it sounds like you feel like you just don't know what that world looks like.
So that to me is what they started out doing. When I don't know when the first replay was.
I don't know.
I'm sure we could figure it out. Let's call it early 2000s, probably. Maybe. Fair. I mean, yeah. My whole college career, I think we pretty much had replay in there. But let's say late 90s, early 2000s. I don't even really remember. But if you go back before we had replay, like, did anybody have a problem with sport? Like, nobody had a real problem. Like, the games were fine. It's now, though, like, to me, watching these games and having the games, all the games now are coming down to replay. So, I guess for me, I almost just, I'd rather them, it would come down to a missed call than come down to, like, I mean, the Ohio State game versus Clemson the other night, I felt like they got two calls wrong on replay.
Right. That's when it gets bad.
And the replay cost Ohio State, in my opinion, the game and their chance at a national title. That game is over if they don't call that bad
catch
targeting.
Fumble, or targeting and then the
targeting,
catch fumble.
Yeah. In the next play, Lawrence runs for 70 yards in the safety that it was in was the guy that was ejected probably, right? And he goes 70 yards, and then the guy does the fumble where he catches it, takes four steps, and it's not a fumble. But on the field, it's called a fumble.
Right.
So to me, it's like, if you can't get that stuff right and we're reviewing every play, it's like it's all got to go. It's all got to go because you're wasting our time. There's four-hour games, and it's like I'd rather lose – with the spirit of the game being like, look, we do our best, and if we don't make the call right, we all deal with it.
If this was First Take, I would be contractually obligated to sit here and be like,
because no, now you think you wanted though, you
I'm
don't
fine
believe
with
it.
No, I don't. Like, I agree with. I think we're reviewing. See, this is my thing. Is like, and this is where I like. This is where I disagree with you. That like you're going to the extreme when it's like, why can't we improve upon something that can be good? What I think is, we're never gonna. There's gonna be human error. If there's gonna be human error in calls, there's gonna be human error in reviews. So the idea that that any review is going to be perfect, I think you're already at a thesis or a mission statement that is just false to begin with. So there's replay. It's not perfect because nothing can be perfect to a certain extent. But my thing is, when I watch a college football game, it's like every remotely even close catch, no catch is reviewed. And it's like, Jesus Christ. So I don't know. I guess I'm not sitting here with a solution, maybe we go back to just a like you get one, like the challenges have to come from the coaches and you get one or something like that.
That's what Will, so me and Willie were talking about that today, and Willie said, he said the same thing. One or two challenges from the, and that's it.
And that's
right?
It.
And
it,
there's no,
it's coming from upstairs.
It's coming from upstairs or every touchdown or under 2 minutes or any of that, you know, basketball. Yeah. They're every time the ball bounces now in 2 minutes, it's like
they go to the monitor.
Yeah, and so like if they keep going that route, it's like, what are they going to start like going back and looking to see if they traveled? Are they going to look to see if they carried? Like that's stupid. Like I don't understand that. And in baseball now, they're trying to get rid of the umpire and they're trying to say the computer will tell you when it's a strike. Well, then you know what? Like these guys are going to crowd the box and. A great, you know, and Willie had another great point. He said, every stat you've ever seen in baseball in your whole life is based on an umpire making calls based on
his opinion. Yeah,
so
sure.
Every, you know, he said, now all of a sudden, like, these guys are going to tee off on balls. It's going to be like, it's going to be so much different.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much harder to throw strikes with guys crowding the plate and, like, not being able to work that edge.
There's just everything's in moderation is my point of, like, the implementation of technology is good to a point. The implementation of replay is good to a point. But I don't want to sit here.
Have we crossed that point?
Yes. That's where I'm with you. That's why this would be the worst episode of First Take of all time.
Because
it would be agreeing.
You got a problem with me?
Yeah, like, now, first and foremost, if you think that replay is going to do anything but hurt our game, you're crazy.
I'm Max Kellerman. Let me just... I'm from New York. I got some New York, and I like boxing too. Let me tell you that.
But it's just about moderation. Like, I don't want to sit here and say do away with all replay, but I think we gotta find some way of like because we have crossed the line. It is way too much now, and so whether we go to like a true challenge-based system. Or one thing I even said is like, you have a review clock, meaning the second the refs go to review a play, it can be 30 seconds, 35 seconds, whatever. If after 35 seconds of seeing three different angles in super slow-mo, if you don't know, call stands, get back on the field, let's go.
I think that's like, those are good ideas, but... The people that want replay, their mission in life is to never have a missed call. They want every call right. And right now it's going towards the direction of that's what matters more than the flow of a game, the pace of play.
Yeah, how
long
first
a game actually takes.
Agree.
It's going farther that direction. The idea is, how much can we get everything right at any cost? And my point is like, it doesn't matter if you get more wrong. The game's better if it's just played. You play the game. You do your best. The refs ref the game. They do their best. At the end of the game, it's over. And we all live under those rules.
Well, and here's the thing that's hard now is it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle of we were living in a world up until the early 2000s, whenever replay started, of you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So when things can't get reviewed, you just kind of accept them for what they are and you move on. But the problem is now we've lived in a world where there is replay and we see the mistakes. And at one point you could maybe try to get things right. And so it's going to be really hard to go back to me. I'm trying to think of what the analogy would be. Like if it goes from like, imagine if all of a sudden we didn't have GPS, like it was better when you had to learn.
You had to pull out the map.
You had to pull into the gas station and ask Bill behind the counter, how do I get over here from over there? Like, and it wasn't that bad in 1981 because you didn't know what you didn't know. But now I got a fucking GPS thing where I type in, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I just brain off and it takes me there. It's going to be really hard for me to live in a world without that now. So I think sports fans and people are going to have a hard time if, like, say you became the commissioner, the czar, the emperor of sports, and you said no more replay, I think it would be like, it would be a shock to people's system.
Well, here's why I don't think so. Because you grow up playing, and kids still now are playing, like, you go to the high school games.
Yeah, they're not reviewing.
Not reviewing a play, right?
Yeah.
And it's fine. That's the thing. Like, they're doing it up until they get to college. And then college, it's like, well, we're going to play these five-hour games and review a lot.
But my point is, yeah, when Lincoln Southeast is playing Lincoln East in basketball, it's fine because no one is able to see replays at all.
True.
So you watch replays now, like, it's not going to be fine.
But see, I think that's part of, to me, it's part of the drama. Like, one of the points made at the argument, table, having beers, was, well, remember the guy for the Rockies who had the perfect game, and on the very last play, they threw it, and he was clearly out, and the guy called him safe,
yeah,
right? And it blew his perfect game. They said, well, if he has replay, they do it, and I say, true, very true. It's too bad for that one guy. But would anybody remember that perfect game, or do they remember it now because of the blown call? That's the only reason that I remember that perfect game.
But why is that good? That's my point.
It's
why
not
is that
good,
a good
or bad. It's just what I'm saying is you got to take the good and the bad, but it's equally memorable. And it's gonna swing both ways, right? Just like replay is going to swing both ways. But it's like it's more pure – in like it's a better flow, the game is better overall, and it's less of this start stop.
Trust me, I'm with you. I'm totally with you in flow of the game, too many replays, all that stuff. I struggle to go from that point to being like just throw all replay out.
I might be harsh, but I don't know how you can go backwards without going all the way back. I think they've gotten so far.
And the thing is, they're showing no signs of it not going further. That's the thing. That's why I was just, from the moment I heard about, it wasn't even like this year, the whole being able to review pass interference hasn't been as big of a deal as I thought it would be, but it's the spirit of what they're doing. It's like,
Every year, it's something more.
It's like, now we can review this.
It's more reviews, more ways to review. And, you know, it's like, and then like the spirit of the game, like in the moment, they don't think that that's spearing an ejection worthy hit. In the moment, nobody's thinking that. And then they review it and they go, well, yeah, in super slow-mo, even though Trevor Lawrence clearly ducked his head 12 inches, they did contact head to head. Because in the moment, you wouldn't think that looked like spearing because it wasn't. He tried to tackle the guy.
Right.
And so, in the moment, if it's not spearing, it's not spearing. Like, if it's not, that guy was trying to hurt that other player. Like, if you don't see that in the moment, like, it's not in the moment. Then it didn't happen.
I agree with that.
Because in super slow-mo, ball's out on LeBron. And in the game, it's not out
things,
in LeBron.
Yeah, things look away in super slow-mo that while this sounds weird. While they technically occurred, that's not how it unfolded in real time.
Yeah, there's the spirit of the game where it's sort of like,
again, if I'm like, to the point of the LeBron thing, like if right now, we have a basketball in here, if I hold a basketball and you come over here and you hit the ball out of my hands, it's out on you. But if we replayed it and zoomed in on my pinky and went frame by frame, the last person to touch that is probably me.
That might happen every time you hit it out of somebody's hands. So let me ask you this. Why don't they check that every time the ball gets hit out of somebody's hands?
That's the hard part. That's one of the things that I struggle with.
Because you could.
Yeah, because
couldn't do that.
The one of the things I struggle with in basketball is how we pick some arbitrary moment in time, like the final 2 minutes. Now.
It matters.
Now, like, we can.
That doesn't make sense either.
That's a hard thing to do.
So for me, I don't like it. Like you say, I say I want less replay, but I'm also like, if you're going to call that in the fourth quarter, call it in the first quarter.
Right.
You know, like if you're going to review.
And I agree with that.
I don't know. Like, I don't like I just don't like any of it. I think it's just, it's like the way they're turning us all into robots. They don't want us to think. The technology is going to take over. We'll be doing. We'll all be sitting in a room in a pod, doing nothing, and the robots are going to take over the world. Starts with Replay.
Okay, hold on. Line two. It is the producer of First Take. Bo Rude has been employed in First Take. Nick Baugh has not been employed. No. It's hard, man. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I really do.
It's extreme. I get it.
It's just like, I don't know what this, for something about, like, I can, everything you say, I'm like, I agree. But then when it goes to replaced out of sports,
that
I'm like,
part of you wants, you want, you're saying you want to hold on to, well, if it's really obvious in one time a game, or it's really obvious and it's an out of bounds or something, like that's what you want.
I feel like, again, I just am like, if we can get,
give me the scenario that you are holding on to this replay. What do you want? Is it, hey, he actually fumbled and I want to see it? Or
yeah, something like, as little as that is like, what if Matt Davison, what if the call on 97 is incomplete?
If that's the way
Matt
the
Davison
game is
caught
played,
the ball.
If that's
he caught
the way
it.
The game, hey, just remember,
he caught it.
In
like, time out, he caught it though.
I know, but you know what? Also, in 2009, the Big 12 championship game, right, that game's over. And in every game that I've ever been a part of, that the game would have been over. With instant replay, they said, put 1 second on the clock. That only right. happens with instant replay. If that's old school, that's the way we play in high school or in the 90s, that game, the clock ran out, period. They had to go look to see where that
right.
ball
did it
touched
land in
some
the stands
guy
and when does it, right.
at what exact half second, and they somehow managed to find a reason to put a second on when in any logical game ever before that, you just say, nope, that game's over. Nebraska wins a Big 12 yeah. title. And you know what? Who knows where we're at now? So I don't know. You say, yeah, maybe we don't win a national title. That could be if he doesn't do it. But same time, like, I'm just willing.
I'm willing
to win and lose on that rather than lose. Like, I've lost on replay now, and I don't like it. I'd rather lose.
I can't give you a scenario. I just feel like if there's an obvious, like, he stepped out of bounds, he didn't step out of bounds, like, thing like that. Like, just if we sure. can get those things right, like, even we've talked about Braun. Like, what if they would have called goaltending on LeBron with the block?
That's it. I'm sorry. I mean, then they called goaltending. I mean, they could have. If they would have used
net?
Replay, he touched it. They should have called that on LeBron. How would you feel if they would have taken that away from him?
I mean, horrible.
That's the point. It's stupid.
But you can pick and choose things both ways.
I know, but I'm saying I would rather it be in the moment stuff. Like, in the moment, you got to make the call in the moment. It's got to be obvious in the moment, or or it's over. That I like more than, like, what we're going to do is nobody saw this and it didn't make a difference, but we're going to go zoom in and find out reason to mess this game up.
Yeah, but I think you're making that extreme. I mean, I don't think
it is extreme,
like, it's,
but it is. I just watched it happen with Ohio State.
Yeah,
I just watched it.
Again, I understand. I understand the spirit of what you're saying. I okay. do. I just, if you can get something, I guess it's hard for me to just sign off on, like, just being okay with, like, things are going to be missed that can be corrected, and it's just whatever.
But I feel like what you want, we had, and then they kept going, and then they kept going.
Exactly.
And they kept going. So
that's right.
I don't know how you can argue for something less when they went there and they said, that's not going to work enough. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, they were there, and then they kept going.
Right. I mean, maybe your point is, like, once you go there, where does it stop?
And I guess
my thing is, like, I want to live in a world, it's like, we can find a happy, we can find that place.
We can find that place.
But all this stems back to the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
Where, to me, that was the apex of the replay debate.
That's where it.
But what's interesting about that is that play wasn't even. What's weird about that is that's a play that there was no replay.
Was no replay, so they put it in. And there will be plays that they say, that's not reviewable, it should be next year. Will keep happening.
What's so stupid about that isolated play is people that are clamoring for pass interference to be reviewable, because it's like, well, look at that play. It's like, yeah, not every play is that obvious. You know, like, pass interference is pretty, like, you know, bang, bang, when did the ball get there? How much jersey does he have a handful? Like, so I think people use, like, an extreme example. And said, this is what we
can
want.
Can you call defensive holding now on these receivers? Yeah, you sure can. So if you can call defensive holding, can't you call offensive holding?
That's where I'm like, where?
And the offensive linemen hold every play.
So where does it stop? So
no,
that's where.
No stopping. Yeah. That's where it's going.
So I'm with you on that. Like, that's where I was totally like, come on now. We cannot. That's where I've always. That's why this was a big. Because this was the first time we had reviewed something that was subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, to me, we'd always been on a slippery slope, but now we went on a really slippery slope to me.
Cross the line.
So we'll see what ends up happening. All right, that's number four. Number three on the top moments/stories in sports of 2019, Zion. Off the top of my head, when I was writing this stuff down, like, is he the, first of all, he was the biggest, he's maybe one of the five or six biggest stars in all of sports this season.
Yes.
Or this year. And I'm struggling to find a bigger college basketball star. Do you have to go back to like Grant Hill, Fab Five? Like, do you have to go back to, I mean, even like, he was a bigger star than Carmelo.
Star, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking Greg Oden had a real year.
But not like Zion to me.
Not like Zion. Think of this.
Steph Curry had a run in the NCAA tournament.
Steph Curry have a run.
But I'm talking like he was a superstar.
In an era where, like, right now college basketball.
Oh, it's hard.
It's hard because these kids are all freshmen, right? So look at our list. Virginia wins the title in their number nine. And Zion's just a single person, and he's number three.
Yes.
Or is he four?
Three.
He's three. So he's number three by himself, which tells you what an impact this guy made.
He was a phenom. Like, a force of nature. I think it was a perfect storm of, like, he was this viral YouTube sensation as a dunker before he got to Duke. So he kind of had developed a little bit of, like, there was a little something around him. But he went to another level at Duke, where he was the biggest college basketball star in recent memory. And then when he blew out his shoe against North Carolina, it was because it sparked then the debate of, like, should Zion just stop playing until the NBA draft?
It changed the economy.
Yeah.
Overnight, Nike's stock was like, and Nike's like, we'll change make new shoes. Like,
right.
Like it was unbelievable. And then it sparked all sorts of crazy debates because they realized this guy's moving the needle in ways that, like, are global. He's global and he's 19 and he's played like 10 games in college.
I just think you can, there are elements of, as we first take or different, like these different talking head debate shows in sports. But the one thing they do is they talk about who's relevant and they talk about what moves the needle. Now, some of it is manufactured stuff, but the reality of it is they are only going to talk about things that clearly are fishing in the biggest pool of people.
Yeah.
And Zion, a college basketball player, was leading these shows, leading them. Like, I just don't, he is.
Since LeBron James, maybe more than Kevin Durant, I think he is probably the most, I don't know what the term, I don't even want to say it's hype. It's just this, like, this sort of, like, circus that's sort of just like, that he is the center of the gravity around that just sort of, like, just circles him. Like, it's just like he has such presence and he's such a freak of nature that, like, we all go, we have to see this.
It No, I think he is. I think you can use hype. Like, he's the most
is
hyped.
Hype the right word for
he's
that?
The most hyped, famous basketball player to enter into the NBA since LeBron James.
But his hype wasn't really the high school hype like LeBron's was.
No.
But his, like, his college hype exploded. Like, when he started playing.
Yes.
And they saw him do those things he did in high school, actually in college, and the way he would, like, handle and just manhandle dudes and dunk. Then people lost their minds, and it was like, you're like, wow, this guy's actually this good.
So think about this. Let's pull this up because I remember I Googled it quick. The NBA draft lottery, just ping pong balls this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ping pong balls just to see.
Which order?
Which order. Which this season or this year was pretty much who's getting Zion, right?
Yeah.
Just reading from the story here. Tuesday's NBA draft lottery earned 4.43 million viewers on ESPN, up 83% from last year. The telecast ranks as the second most watched draft lottery since, when do you think the last time?
2003.
LeBron.
Yep.
Guys, that's where it's like, it's not a, this isn't like, oh, he's not as big a deal. Like, that's it. Like, that's it right there.
When people tune in, it tells you a lot.
Your actions are the ultimate truth serum of what, like people watch.
When people watch, it's like, it doesn't lie. It's that word of mouth has to happen for people to actually tune in.
Yes. There are a couple, two things with the Zion thing. Number one, probably one of my biggest takeaways is if you're arguing against the one and done, Zion is not your example. Zion is the argument for one and done, because playing at Duke and playing a year of college basketball 100% helped Zion Williams. Like, you know who the number one draft pick before the season was projected to be?
His teammate.
It was RJ Barrett. Then it became Zion. And then all the things we just described, people wouldn't, if Zion comes out of high school, it's not 4.4, it's not almost 5 million people watching the draft lottery for this guy.
Nope.
He's not a household name. So people love, and I get it, you know, like, I'm a college basketball defender. I see all the issues with the sport, but I also think, like, they're like playing for Duke on ESPN, on that shit, like, that's a big fucking deal, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. And that's why then, so there was that angle. But then one of the things that is you've seen it at times with players skipping bowl games to begin this conversation around, like, college players sitting out because they don't want to get hurt because their payday in the pros is coming. So while it's been, you've seen that coming and it's been more prevalent. This was one of the first times you saw it with a high profile college basketball player, where in the moment, in the middle of the season, Zion hurts himself. And when he blew out a shoe, he tweaked his knee. And there was real conversations for the better part of the following 2 weeks of spirited debates of, this guy should be done. If he plays another second at Duke, he's an idiot. Why would he risk it? What are you doing? And man, that is just a weird, we've talked a lot about slippery slopes. It's a weird world.
The kid from Memphis gets in trouble with
James Wiseman. Yeah.
And I believe he just now said he's done.
Oh, he's done. He's done, and he hired an agent, and he's done.
And that was all because, like, the NCAA wanted to make it hard on him and get him in trouble, and he just went.
He said, no.
Okay, I'll
go to the
I'm
pros.
Done.
Right.
And it's no different now, like, same thing with an injury. It makes it, now it's like, it's a real thought. Like, it's not, everybody's in your ear about the money, and you have to take it in consideration because it's a lot of money.
Right.
And
But it's so weird in a game where it's all about sacrifice and toughness and like selling out for the whole, like the single piece for the whole. And then like, it's hard to preach those things and then sit out.
I can understand. I can wrap my mind around players sitting out of like the Belk Bowl. I can wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it, but I can wrap my mind around it. You know, like you're maybe going to be a first round draft pick running back or something like that. I can wrap my mind
tough.
Around.
It's tough. That's a tough one.
But tell you what, if that scenario, they're playing in, if ETN or J.K. Dobbins, if they're playing in the Belk Bowl, I get it. But when you're playing for a national championship, I don't get it.
Nope.
I don't.
Nope. That'll tell you more about you than anything else.
Or in this scenario, like let's say Zion would have gotten hurt and they were going to go play in the NIT. I get it. You're playing the NIT. Like,
yeah,
I get it.
NIT, yeah.
They were the number one team in the country. They still had half the year to go. They still were playing for a national championship. Like, we just, like, when we start entering into the world of, like, because that's what sports is going to a weird place with load management and, like, this stuff in college. Like, you don't play. It's like, when the solution is don't play, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi's probably the worst example of that, that it all worked out for him. Like, he set out the year, yeah, load managed. And so people are probably going to take that as, well, look at Kawhi. But I think it's a bad sign. Like, if you haven't done it before and you haven't been a winner before, like, don't start sitting. Don't start your career sitting out.
I just felt like that was a part of the Zion. Like, when I think of Zion in this year, I think of that. Like, because that was a huge argument for a while. People were, like passionate about, like, if he plays another minute, you got to be kidding me. And it's just, man, that's a tough – because one thing that I always laughed at with that is, like, okay, so unless Zion's going to go sit in a bubble until the draft, like, he's going to go work out. He's going to go play pickup. Yeah. He could just as easily get hurt playing pickup than he could against – NC State at Cameron Indoor. So what, I mean, I just don't, sometimes I don't know if people like think out what they're saying.
It's like, it's hard. It's because money's involved. It just gets really dicey.
I get it. But so it's hard to tell the story of sports in 2019 without including Zion.
Well, and I think the final piece of that is he played really clutch in the tournament, which was, I felt like that sort of cap that year off. Like, he played, to me, his most clutch basketball in some of those tournament
bigger games. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't end up winning, but I thought he really shined.
Well, not only was he was just every once in a while, whether it's LeBron or it's Adrian Peterson or, you know, I'm trying to think of another example, even Tiger when he first burst on the scene, where like you see a level of athleticism with someone that is like, that is, in a world full of elite freaks, that's the freakiest.
Yeah.
And Zion has a little bit of like that, whoa, are you from Earth?
Yeah. When he gets, like, when you sense a fast break coming, like LeBron, and a lob's coming, it's like there's electricity that shoots through everyone's body, and it's just like in the anticipation. That's what those guys bring that nobody else on Earth does, and Zion brings it in spades.
Yes. Number three, Zion. Number two, we're getting to the nitty-gritty here. The New England Patriots win the Super Bowl again against the hotshot, star-studded Rams with Sean McVay, the young coach with the new way of doing things versus the old grouchy Belichick, and the Patriots win again. There are so many different things within that game, but I even like one of the things I wrote down was, I'm not so sure this wasn't Belichick's most impressive coaching. Like, when you look at the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, I thought the level of coaching that you saw from Belichick was like at his apex potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, he held Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City at home in the AFC title game, did he hold him to 3 points in the first half, or did he shut him out? Like,
I can't remember, but he
basically shut down a guy that was on another, that was an MVP of the NFL, just shut him down. Now, he went off in the second half, but like, bottom line, shut him down for two quarters.
Yeah. And he does what he always, this has been 20 years of this now, where he's the best coach to ever do it. And he tailors every single week to who he's playing.
Yeah.
And he comes up with something, and it's based on every possible scenario and advantage he can possibly get. And when it gets cold and the field changes and the wind changes and he's playing all these factors. And it's just amazing, though, that nobody goes as detailed and far as he does. And it always pays off in the playoffs and the Super Bowls.
And so the big thing with the Super Bowl, though, also was we've seen a lot of great players come to New England and play really well. And then when they leave, they don't, like Wes Welker or whoever, they kind of fall off.
Yeah.
And Julian Edelman went to a place in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl MVP. And it's one of the best wide receiver performances you'll ever see in the Super Bowl. And so one of the things that became a topic of conversation after the Super Bowl is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer?
I say yes. After that game, I say yes. I mean, the only thing is he got the performance enhancement.
Yeah, the PED little deal.
That's my only hang up with Edelman. I freaking love Edelman. I love his game, his toughness. He's everything I want in a football player. It's just too bad he may be.
Yeah.
Because it was performance enhancing.
Too. I thought it was.
Yeah. So, you know, he was coming off a knee injury, and I'm guessing he probably said, "This is what I got to do.
Right.
Get it right. Right. Whether it's HGH or whatever. That's probably what happened, which is too bad. That's the only thing that maybe keeps him out of the Hall of Fame. But what he's done on the field now officially to me would be like a Hall of Fame career.
Right.
That Super Bowl put him over the top because he's done that now in two Super Bowls. He was like unbelievable.
And, you know, it's weird
because
three
Super Bowls. I'm sorry. Yeah. Three.
It's weird with the Patriots because, like, at this point, to me, Belichick is just, he's doing a victory lap on being the greatest coach of all time. And to me, Brady's doing a victory lap on being the greatest quarterback of all time. So it's hard to sit here and say that, like, that although it might have been Belichick's best coaching performance, it's hard. Like, when you're already the best, it's hard to, like, so it's weird. These guys are almost like their legacies are so solidified.
It blows your mind, though, because they're both kind of defeating age. I mean, Belichick's like 70.
And that's the thing. And
Brady's 40 plus years. I think unbelievable.
That's one of the things that impresses me with Belichick is, so many guys, the game just kind of passes them by. You know, like, they're good for a while. And that, like, Bob Knight at some point just, like, the game just kind of, he, like, outgrew him. At some point, like, the game was kind of outgrowing Phil Jackson. You know, like, the triangle and all that. It's just kind of like, nah, bro. Like, now it's all about, like, getting four shooters on the floor, pick, roll, ball screen. You know, like, and the thing that's amazing about Belichick is he has been able to not only stick with the times, but, like, almost stay ahead of him.
Here's what's so unique about him is he's essentially doing a lot of the same things he did in the 1980s. Yet he's innovating in the places he needs to innovate. Like he calls the things on his defense the same things he called the same on his defense in the 80s. The base packages will be the same, but yet then he's going, well, what we're going to do now, though, is we're going to do five wides all game on offense and use Brady and win that way, right? And then on defense, we're going to do these other. But, like, so the basic principles don't change, but some of the ancillary things around that are what he changes so well and develop. And he tries to not only stay with the times, he's innovating.
Right.
He's trying to find a way to do something that nobody else is doing.
And it just, because there was an element of like who they beat in the, you know, you beat the hotshot young Patrick Mahomes, then you get the hotshot, the great young quarterback, and then the great coach in Sean McVay, and he beat them both. And it just, the way they again, like you said, the way they ran the ball in both games.
When it gets cold and it's at the end of the year, he goes back to that run game, and other teams don't really, they don't do it as drastically as New England can do it. They'll just like all of a sudden go from five wide to two tights and a fullback all game. You're like, what? Where'd that come from?
Right.
And they're running ISOs. Like nobody changes that much week to week. Only they do it.
And it wasn't the most, it was actually a fairly boring Super Bowl, like in terms of the game itself, but it just, it's kind of, like you can be sick of it all you want, and you can be tired of Belichick and Brady all you want, but like
I don't get tired of that greatness.
I don't either.
And the achievements they're making, that's to me why I wanted it as high in the list as it is. I that sort of, like, it's like a lifetime achievement. Like they're still doing it at that age. It's deserving of recognition.
100%. So the Patriots win another Super Bowl.
And it's the NFL, which always means, guess what? It's a bigger deal than everything else.
No doubt.
It's bigger than college.
Basically, you could do this every year. And
NFL's top five every time.
One of the three biggest sports moments every year has to be whoever won the Super Bowl.
That's it.
Because in 2018, it would have been what Nick Foles leads the Eagles to
Beats the Pats.
Then the year before that, it was
Brady beating the Falcons. It was the two Patriots Super Bowls, the comeback versus the Falcons, and the interception, the 1 yard line versus Seattle. That probably makes the decade.
Yes.
The decade one, but this one doesn't make it, is not as high as those, but definitely 2019.
And then the number one sports moment of 2019. This is the biggest no-brainer. And it is Tiger Woods winning the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, I could probably just drop arguably. It's the greatest redemption comeback story ever in sports. This is a guy that, how many guys go from the mountaintop to everything falling apart in their life? Tiger's personal life, his private life, his marriage, everything that is all fell apart. Then his body fell apart. And he was able to pick up the pieces of his shattered life. That I'm not trying to sell Bill a sobster, because the guy, this is all, that shit was self-inflicted, right?
Yeah.
All of it. But this guy picked up the pieces of his shattered life, built himself back up as a person, and then tried to get back on the golf course, and his body was falling apart. I mean, guy had, what, four knee surgeries, four back surgeries, tore his Achilles, and pieced it all back together to where, do you understand, there's a great video online of Tiger basically watched, like someone showed Tiger a video of like a compilation of all the talking heads of like, Tiger should just give it up. Tiger should just quit. This is embarrassing. He can't finish a tournament. He's not making the cut. He's not all this stuff. And Tiger's watching it and just kind of smirks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you have to understand. Like the narrative around this guy was like, this is getting embarrassing. He needs to just retire with some dignity. And at the place that started it all in 1997 with Earl Woods, the whole father-son dynamic, it comes full circle 22 years later with Tiger and his son Charlie on the 18th green, and Tiger wins the Masters and hugs his son. It's just like, it's fucking amazing. It's amazing.
It's deserving to be number one. When you sent the list and it was like, and this was one, I kind of was like, Yeah, that should be. But I wanted to go back, and we have a group text.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, okay, what did we think in the moment? I went back and looked, and you said in the text, when it this is like live.
Oh, God.
You said in the moment, this is the greatest sports moment of my life. Like you,
yes.
That's what you said in the moment, which means no question 2019, it needs to be number one. Because in the moment, it's not just redemption, right? It's not just that, which nobody's fallen from the pinnacle, which he was pinnacle, to the bottom and back like you. That alone is the story for the ages. But there was that, like, Earl Woods, Tiger, and then his son, this sort of, like, weird, like, you know, this generational thing, how the circle of light, and you go, that, you can't write that stuff.
No.
Man. You can't write that.
It is, and there's just so many things with, remember that there was weather coming, so they went off early.
Yeah.
So instead of your typical Sunday at Augusta in the afternoon, they teed off early. So everything was just, you felt unique and felt different. And, you know, when it became evident after some guys kind of making mistakes on the back nine, when it became evident on 12, 13, kind of aim in corner that, oh shit, like this could happen. Sports gives you that real life anxiety of like hanging on every freaking second of what you're watching, that nothing else can give you that.
Because you want it. You want it for them as bad as they probably want it. And,
yes.
And we're all sitting there feeling it. Like when sports does that for you, it's beautiful.
Because I would say, and this is 100% true, because not only was I say it was the biggest, it's the greatest sports moment of my life, it was the most emotional sports moment of my life. Like where I literally, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one, like I was honestly like holding back tears with the whole scene on 18.
And you're a
I'm fairly, a prone to emotional.
Yeah,
guy.
But you're also a fairly new father yourself. And I think that anybody that has a child, that moment probably hits doubly hard. Like it was emotional for me, but I got to imagine, like once you have your own kid, it almost brings on another level.
I just think also one of the things that with Tiger that's interesting is like, I think one of the things I also realize as you get older is like, is nobody's perfect. We're all flawed. We all got fucking issues. Some more than others. Some become more public than others. And I'm just, it's cool to see a guy, like, I don't think we all want to, I want to live in a world where we can survive a mistake and survive problems.
Nobody owes me an apology ever.
Right.
For your mistakes, you don't ever have to apologize online to me.
And I just
you make a mistake, it's your mistake.
I just think it's like, I think it was Brando said it was like the personal comeback far exceeds the golf comeback. And I'm not so sure that isn't true. Like, so Tiger in some way is just like, he's like this, not only is he an athlete, but he's more than that. And he's a connection to the past a little bit of like, of the late 90s and 2000s and that connects us to now. And then for me, he's also in a weird way, like, he's a big connection to my dad. I don't know if anybody out there with like their siblings or with their father, if there's one team or athlete or event that just brings you together. For some reason, nothing brings Nick Baugh and Rich Baugh together quite like Tiger.
Yeah.
And to the point where we had made a deal with each other. Because remember, he had come close at the end of the season before. Remember when he was hot at the PGA, but Koepka was too far ahead, but he almost won a major there. We made a deal with each other. Like,
well, he did win the one.
He won the one, the FedEx Cup, whatever
Where then all of a sudden, the crowd.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing moment.
Yes. But my dad and I made an agreement. They're like, if he ever wins a major, we are, no matter where we're at, we are that night, we're getting together, we're going to dinner, we're having drinks, and we are celebrating.
Yeah.
And that night, my dad and I, in Omaha.
Steak dinner.
Steak
yes,
dinner.
Yes, I knew it.
We went to a restaurant called
Texas Fire... Texas Roadhouse.
We went to Firebirds out at Village Point in Omaha, and we ate steak. And my dad's not even a big drinker. My dad had a Moscow Mule. My dad, too. And we just sat there and ate steak and talked about the round. God, and it's like, good. That's... Sports kind of boils down to that. Like, it's just a... It brings people together... I don't know Tiger. My dad doesn't know Tiger. Like, there's no reason we would be that emotionally moved by it, but we went out and celebrated father, son.
You know what? So people that hate on like the Tigers and LeBrons of the world, here's what I don't understand that. Cause like one, it's like, you got to recognize greatness when you see it. But two, like, understand that like they're giving you, this is a part of your life. You know, they're giving you these unbelievable moments to sort of to have with your dad or to have with your friends, to have the discussions. That's what they're giving you. And so you got to sort of cherish that. And I think that's the stuff that I love so much about sports and the stuff you're saying, that's the best part about it. It's sort of the things that happen surrounding those moments that you get to share with people. That's the greatest part of it.
Absolutely. And there's just it was just an incredible let's be honest, watching golf can be boring as fuck.
If Tiger's not playing, boring.
That's the thing. It's like, if Tiger's not playing, I don't watch a second. But if Tiger's playing, I watched every single shot he hit on Saturday and Sunday.
It's amazing. He's just captivating.
It's weird. Like, he draws you in. And so that's what, like, I wrote down my takeaway. And you may disagree with this. My takeaway is Tiger Woods is the biggest sports superstar in my lifetime. Bigger than Jordan, bigger than LeBron.
That's hard. That's a real hard, because LeBron, Jordan, and Tiger are probably 1, 2, and 3. And I think I was just a tidbit young that I didn't appreciate Jordan enough.
Yeah.
LeBron's definitely up there. It's LeBron and Tiger, and I don't know who's won. I don't know that I have the answer to that. So you could say Tiger. I don't know that I can go there, but you're not wrong as he's in the top
two. Well, I mean, yeah, it's just that. And then it's also cool to watch the reaction to it of like how you're not the only one as like just emotionally wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
And you said you did the same thing. I went back and I watched highlights. I watched all of Van Pelt's SportsCenter of it. And it was just so cool to relive it all. You forget that he almost got a hole in one on 16.
Yep. And then he had to get
up.
He had to get up and down.
And a two-putt on 18 to get it.
I was crapping my pants in that little two-footer. I was like, oh my God.
And then even, I think it was... Andy North was in studio with SVP, and the scene when he's hugging Charlie, SVP, you know, they were off camera, but he goes, Andy, shield your eyes. I can't have you crying during this segment. Mm-hmm. So like, it just sport, like we're grown men, and something as stupid as a person playing golf and winning a tournament can like, can bring you to tears.
It gets past just the game, though. It becomes about people and about...
Yes.
It becomes about you. He can... Like, you know they're great when it can become about you.
Right.
And he's just playing golf.
That's all he's doing.
It's great.
So, that's the number one moment for me. And that would be... We were going to talk about the moment of the year. That's my, obviously, moment of the year.
I couldn't have picked a better one either. That's got to be it. It is clearly... It had everything. It had the drama.
The human element of it. It had the drama. It was actually like drama to the end because Koepka made a run.
He had the story, the game, and it had the emotion. It had the next level emotion.
I don't know, man. There's something about that guy. Even watching the freaking, like, was it the President's Cup? A couple, like, where they're where they were the President's Cup, where the U.S. and he was a captain, and like I don't know what it is about. Like, there's just something unexplainable that happens to my brain when I watch him. Like, I don't.
It's a once in a generation guy. Like, every generation gets one or two of these guys in different sports, and he's the guy.
Right.
He's the guy.
He's the dude. That's it. Side note, real quick, before now we get to transition to pop culture, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. A cup, maybe in. When did LeBron go to? Did LeBron go to Cleveland in 2015?
In 2015,
I remember saying to people at the time. I think I said it on the air on Game Time on 1620. The three biggest sports stories. I said this in like 2015. The three biggest sports stories would be LeBron winning a title in Cleveland happened. The Cubs winning another World Series or winning a World Series happened. And I said, if Tiger won the Masters again, happened. It's kind of amazing to map out what would be just colossal, enormous sports stories. And they all came true. Like, if we were doing moments of the decade, those three, 100%. LeBron coming back from 3-1. The Cubs exercising the demons and coming back and winning a World Series. And then Tiger winning the Masters.
It's kind of nuts to think about.
It's crazy. So I don't even know right now if I had to say what the biggest sports stories would be. I don't know.
Well, maybe you have to look back at the decade sometime and really dig in deep on that, because there's a lot of moments. But
a lot of big moments.
It was hard to do just 2019.
Very. Okay. So there you go. Real quick, in review, top 10 moments / stories 2019. Antonio Brown and all the drama with him at 10. Number 9, Virginia winning a national championship, redemption after losing the 16 seed. Number 8, Clemson winning again. Hard to sink your teeth into, kind of like what it is to make of them, but they're on the precipice of becoming a dynasty. Number 7, Joe Burrow, his amazing season. Number 6, Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors winning a title. Number 5, Golden State and their dynasty coming to an end. Number 4, instant replay and the implementation of that going overboard and culminating in the NFC Championship game, pass interference. Number 3, Zion Williamson. Number 2, New England Patriots winning the Super Bowl. Number 1, Tiger Woods winning the Masters. All right, my friend.
That's a solid list.
That's a solid list right there.
Of sports.
Pop culture. Are you ready to be embarrassed by... This was telling in a lot of different ways. So you said, let's do the album of the year, the song of the year, the movie of the year, and TV show.
Yep.
And obviously this is your opinion, you know?
This is definitely our opinion, but I think we both know sort of... Me and you take in the personal factor with the sort of a little bit more objective, like this happened and it was important. Like there's a national or like an actual importance to something with your own personal feel. You can't rule out your own. Like you can't say, hey, everybody said this is the best movie. I think it sucked. Like,
right.
That doesn't work. Right. It won the Oscar. I hated it. You got to find what you thought was. You got to be a critic. You got to decide in yourself, but you got to be.
So with all that said, you want to start with the album of the year, but I couldn't even. I racked my brain, Googled, went through. I wrote down two albums that I listened to one time.
This is what's so funny about, like, I wanted to do this for this reason. It shows you, one, either how out of touch we are, or two, kind of like we talked about the other weekend. I think a lot of things, especially in music, are terrible right now. Because I did the same thing. I was like, okay, here's a few albums I listen to. And songs, song of the year, we'll get to. But there's not a lot to choose from. So, album of the year,
What'd you even go with?
I was lucky. Bruce Springsteen put out a fantastic album this year. It's called Western Stars, okay? And it's basically just, it's a collection of songs he wrote. I think he lived in in California. He would drive out to the desert there.
Right.
And in there. So he wrote this album kind of based on these stories and pictures he's painting about this kind of this desert life. And it was really kind of, but it's awesome. I've listened to this album probably 20 times through. this year.
Oh, there you go. This works for you.
Okay. So this, other than that album though, Nick, when I say this would have been a huge struggle, I was in your same boat. I try to listen to like albums that I hear are good, and you listen to a couple of them, they're fine. But there just wasn't a lot of albums. Like, man, I listened to that album a lot this year.
I wrote down Chance the Rapper's The Big Day, but I listened to it one time, and it was like, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but
that's what I'm saying. There was no album that's just like, that's the album.
So part of me is like, I'll go with Chance, but like part of me doesn't want to like leave it blank out of principle of like, you don't deserve to have anything be album of the year.
Okay, we didn't talk about this, but so now if we were to move on to song of the year, that's my answer. I'm telling you with a straight face. I didn't want to choose a Bruce Springsteen song because that would be the answer. Because on that album, I like those songs. But if I were to say what's the song of the year, there is none, because to be song of the year, you got to be relevant. Like this album, Springsteen's album was relevant nationally. Right.
A song that is like this. What
it has to be almost like a single that was that good,
like 24 Karat Magic in 2016 or whatever. Like that's
the most popular song of the year was Old Town Road. That song's fine. It's like a take the horse to the old town road. So if I had to pick one, I'd pick that because it's fine. But I'm telling you, I looked at a bunch of like the song of the year list, and I was going, don't know that. And some of the songs you hear, you're like, that's the song of the year?
I Googled, you know, like 2019 top pop songs of the year or whatever. And like, I'm going through and I'm like, there's either songs that like I had never heard of, which again, is just a window into like, apparently we are like, I used to be with it. Then they changed what it was. And now what's it? Isn't it like to go Abe Simpson on it? But,
I used to be with it. Then they changed. And now what's it? Was
and now what's it? Is young and scary to me.
Oh, that's but so
the
good.
The only song that was on the list that I'm not gonna lie made Nick Baugh's Apple Music downloaded, and I listened to it a lot. And in a related story, I'm a 13-year-old girl. Shawn Mendes, If I Can't Have You.
I don't know. Oh, you.
I like that song.
I think you may have sent that to me, and I was like, what is this?
I am a 13-year-old girl, apparently. That song, like, so I can't lie and act like I didn't play that song a lot and didn't enjoy that song.
That's what we needed here. That's what we wanted here.
So Shawn Mendes, If I Can't Have You, I'll show myself out.
Okay.
I can't wait to do this again next year if I have strong takes. When you eventually have Bo Rude Jr. at some point in your life, you're going to find out that like going to movies gets challenging. Basically, anymore like going to the actual theaters, like unheard of. You have to wait till they're like available to download and stream. So, you know what movie I wrote down? Because it's if I had to just write down the movies that I went to in theaters and what my favorite one was, you know what movie I wrote down?
But Netflix movies count.
That I wouldn't have any of those. I mean, I saw El Camino.
You liked El Camino.
I liked El Camino.
Saying that.
I mean, maybe El Camino. Maybe El Camino would get the nod. But I wrote down Toy Story 4. I wrote down Toy Story.
Okay, I'll give you Toy Stories.
Because I haven't, I didn't see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I didn't see any of
these. You didn't see The Irishman?
No. I haven't seen any of these movies. So it's literally like I shouldn't be allowed. Like I'm a Heisman voter that was stuck in a cave in Germany. And they're like, you know, like, hey, Bill, you got to vote. You're like, hey, wait a minute. I don't know, the quarterback at Texas, he's a good player. And they're like, no, he's not.
Who's playing quarterback for Oklahoma this year? We've been going with them a lot lately. Like that's, should I get him?
But here are the movies I think I saw in theaters this year. Toy Story 4, Secret Life of Pets 2, Frozen 2. I did see Ad Astra. Didn't really like it.
Okay.
Just had a chance to be great and just threw it away. But So I wrote, I mean, this is stupid. This is like, well, this would be a really fun thing if we had like passionate.
So next year, maybe we'll make a point like Oscar movies worthy. Yeah. Like all like if we say, here's the top sort of.
I wanted to see once.
Quote unquote movies. Like we need to watch them. I got through a few of them.
So I'd either have El Camino or Toy Story 4.
I'll give you that. That's not bad. I mean.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of don't fucking patronize me.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's not bad. It's horrible, but keep going. Okay, what's your number one over there, Mr. fucking Siskel and Ebert?
Roger Ebert here.
Should we do mid on film? Like, my pick is Toy Story 4. Hated it.
I want to go to the moon and...
The next movie is Little Women.
Hated it.
The next all those girls. A Few Good Men. I gave this movie
double salute. okay. You're not from the early 90s. You won't know what that is.
Oh, God.
So this one was easy. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was start to finish a Hollywood movie, if that makes sense. It's
like,
it stars at their best.
I love
it's
me some
Leo
Brad Pitt, boy.
And Brad at like their peak powers, just like being movie stars.
Right.
And so that's where it's like you and the movie. I don't spoil things, so I'm not going to spoil this.
I've never met a person that's more like anti-spoil.
No one. Yeah. No one's more anti-spoil. So just for the chance you might be listening and don't hear spoiler alert, I'm not going to spoil. So this movie, though, I'm not going to give away the plot, but the whole storyline is great. Well shot. Tarantino at his best in years. So that's definitely my number one. I liked The Irishman. I liked Marriage Story, two Netflix movies.
I've heard Marriage Story is like set, like heart wrenching. Like
if you're married, I watched it with my wife and we're like, so we need to discuss things. But yeah, Marriage Story. I thought it was really well done. So
it's our girl too, dog. Scarlett Jo, right?
Oh man, she's a nice lady.
Yeah.
So those two probably get
The Irishman's the really long, right?
Yeah, it's a long one.
But it's
good.
Okay.
But you
I'll get around to seeing him.
It just wasn't like it didn't once upon a time in Hollywood when I left that I was like, man, I just saw a movie. Where Irishman was good and I was like, I'm really good. That's you know, that's Scorsese. How I felt. But I didn't feel like it wasn't the same way I felt like when I saw Casino or Gangs of New York with Scorsese. Right. I felt like those movies I left going, holy cow. So those are definitely probably my top couple.
When I left Toy Story 4, man, I'm telling you.
You were moved.
It was good. Okay.
TV show of the year.
Here we go. This is where we're going to have some disagreement. But we got to for sure talk about one show. My favorite TV show of 2019 was Stranger Things 3, season 3.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not saying it's necessarily like a better show than Game of Thrones. But I just enjoyed watching this Stranger Things season three more than this season of Game of Thrones.
Okay, so that's a perfect answer and a perfect comparison. Okay, because I'm going to come out and say I'm choosing Game of Thrones. However, I thought that this season of Stranger Things was really good. It was better than season 2.
Yeah.
I thought they really
they were on.
Yeah, they took it to a great place. It was what was the dude with the hot rod car?
Yeah.
I thought that guy was a great character
this
year.
Yeah.
So I totally on board with Stranger Things. Thought it was a good show. My rebuttal is this. Game of Thrones was the year. The year in television, so we're talking 2019, Game of Thrones, hands down, is television in 2019.
I 100% agree. And that's the hard part. It's like, that's where it's like, I'm allowing my personal preference to supersede what the obvious answer is. The obvious answer is Game of Thrones. Because the obvious answer is the Game of Thrones is one of the biggest TV shows in the history of television.
Yeah, I mean,
it's arguably
I don't know if it's the biggest, but it's borderline. You could call it the biggest ever.
I think
it's borderline.
So to wrap this up, let's just talk about Game of Thrones.
Okay. So this is when I rebuttal to your Stranger Things, I will point to some people like I've seen all sorts of weird stuff on the internet, like what a disappointment Game of Thrones was. And I'm thinking, like, when they did that episode where they fought
The Long Night.
The Long Night, I couldn't believe it. I called you the next day and I think we talked for 3 hours.
We were in Vegas. We went to breakfast. We saved it.
We saved it in Vegas.
We saved it for Vegas. You and I wake up after a nice Vegas night and we went to breakfast.
Oh.
We sat at breakfast for 2 hours.
Now that needed to be a podcast because that so that episode alone maybe would have got movie of the year for me if it hadn't have been one episode of a TV series.
Right.
Because it was a 7-year buildup to get to that night, and I was not disappointed in that fight. We had lots of thoughts on it. Seemed a little crazy on some of the things, and we won't spoil it if you haven't seen it,
right.
But it definitely... It blew me away in so many ways,
here's,
too.
Here's why the answer has to be Game of Thrones, even though because it was, it took over pop culture for the entire year.
Yes.
It was the thing.
It was must-see TV in the moment. You needed to, like, because you didn't want to miss out on the conversation.
And I will say the one thing that is great and almost like inspiring about Game of Thrones for moving forward in life. Not that you get like philosophical here, but like we have become such a fragmented society with so many options that ultimately to be a human being is to have a shared experience. Like, it's why concerts are great. It's why sports are great. It's why you want to just experience life with either someone or a group of people. And when it comes to entertainment, and in particular TV, that has gotten chipped away and chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. When you watched Friends and Seinfeld in like the 90s, you felt like everyone in the world's watching this right now.
Because they were. Nick, and everybody in the world used to watch
MASH,
Happy Days, Cheers. Like everyone could tell you every episode of Gilligan's Island. Everybody in the 70s would be like, well, this episode of Gilligan, because they all saw it. There was 10 channels. You saw the same shows. You had the same references.
Yes.
Everybody could talk the same talk.
Right. We were on a break, Friends, you know, all that stuff. No soup for you, like all that stuff. It's hard. For those, now you can say bend the knee. You could say, you know, all like.
So everybody said Fleabag was the show of the year. And I just go, I just didn't get around to Fleabag.
It was, Game of Thrones was pop culture, period. In some ways, if you had to pick like the thing of 2019, you'd almost like have to say Game of Thrones.
You probably take the impeachment of Trump first.
Well, I guess I was talking more like...
I know, but seriously, yeah. I think you take Trump impeachment, maybe like one or two other things, and maybe it's like Game of Thrones. Like, what happened in 2019? I'm not so sure that's not like up there.
Because it was... You're right. It just...
Hong Kong, trade war, Game of Thrones.
But it was fine. Just the... It's the only show in the past 20 years, it feels like, where it truthfully felt like it took on a life of its own. It was, everyone watched it, and it was, and that's where I may have not loved the final season, but when I sat down to watch that episode of The Long Night of Build. I mean, you're talking about 7 years in the making, building up to this, and you knew it was coming. And then it was such an event that you and I saved talking about it until we felt like over omelets and coffee in Vegas in the morning, we could truthfully have do it justice.
That's how we knew we were going to be good podcasters, because we can save, like, don't talk about it. Save it for the conversation.
We flew all the way to Vegas. We went to dinner that night. We gambled that night. We partied that night.
Not
a word. Didn't speak of it, because we knew we wanted to have a sane, sit down, controlled environment where we could, and it was just me and you enjoying breakfast.
And we could just dive into the depths of what it all meant.
Yes.
So I'd say there was 2 to 3 episodes, 2 for sure, that were like all time of my life episodes that season. Obviously the long night, and then when the city was falling down. And Khaleesi was angry. Those were 2 all-time episodes to me, and I didn't have a problem with almost
who ended up on the
throne. That throne.
I got a problem with on that throne.
Let me see that throne.
Who's on Game of
Is that our signal that we're delirious?
Oh, man, probably. Oh, God.
That's the cue.
That is the cue. Well, there you go. I can't wait to do this again next year. And hopefully I see more movies than, you know, Pixar animated movies.
Let's listen to some albums.
And then get some good.
Watch some movies.
I mean, at some point also, like, again.
It's hard to do it all. So we're getting the sports in.
Getting
our Husker football in, but, man, it's hard to do it all.
But I can't wait. This was fun.
This was great.
This was fun. All right, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in. Cheers to a great 2019. And obviously, cheers to a great 2020. We're going to have plenty of great podcast content for you. What are you laughing at, man?
Let me see that. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, man.
Cisco.
Drum.
I love when Jon Snow goes da da da. I love when he goes da 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 da. Khaleesi had dragons like what. Oh, that's not good. That's if you would have told me Cisco would find its way into 2019.
How you made that reference, I'll never.
The throne, just call it the throne.
Me see.
I didn't like when it on the throne. They need to impeach who's on the throne. They need to impeach who's on the throne in Game of Thrones.
I hear that he was making a quid pro quo. A quid pro quo.
With King's Landing.
With King's Landing.
Oh, God.
Trying to get the Iron Throne to... trying to tell him the Iron Throne was...
Withholding Dragon Aid.
Are you withholding Dragon Aid? Here's the thing, Cersei.
We need to stop.
We need to go.
We need to stop.
We need to cut all this out.
Oh, I'm crying. Oh, God. All right. Hey, make sure you subscribe to the pod. We got plenty more good content coming. Again, I've been teasing it. Like, we get to the spring, bruh. You and I are going to be doing a deep dive into the decade in Nebraska football, okay? So for those people like, where's the decade in review, this year in review? We're going to get to all that stuff. We got all spring. Like, we got tons. I want to get to where we have space to really dive into things. That's what we're going to do, okay? But in the meantime, subscribe to the pod. Give it a 5-star rating. Share it on social media. Tell your friend to tell a friend to tell another friend to listen to this pod. We appreciate it. Until next time. See you on the thumb. Production.